guys, you're listening to Bring Your Own, a catch-all bookish most of the time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today, I'm so excited. We are talking about books that we would love to see put on the screen, whether that's TV, movies. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But we all picked a book that we would like to see adapted. So,
yes.
Fun. But before we get started, what are we reading? What are we drinking?
I'll go. I'm drinking water. Big slay on my end. And I am reading An Arc of Not in Love by Miss Allie Hazelwood.
Flex.
Low key. I can confirm it is her hottest book on record. I was like, oh my God.
I've heard that.
Once it starts, you're kind of like, it doesn't, they just stay fucking. I was like, oh my God, Allie. That's
crazy. Allie.
And then I'm not listening to anything, but I did just finish Radio Silence by Alice Oseman. That book was so good and like just tender and so sweet. And one of the only books that I personally can think of where it was a book about a platonic friendship, but between a guy and a girl. I don't think I've ever read a book like that. And they were both queer and like in school. I don't know how Britain's school system works. So like they're fucking like year 13. I don't fucking know. almost done. About to go to university. And it was so good. And it was good on audio too. The Brits know how to make really good audiobooks.
They do.
The Brits know.
I'll go. So I just finished a delicious Coke Zero. Despite Kendra saying a couple of weeks ago on our Instagram post that my love is Diet Coke, which is not true, but
I sent the post to you guys. I say, does this look good? And you go, yeah.
I just assume that you know me enough to know that I'm a Coke
I did
Zero
I
girl.
I and I said like I just
That's
read it
crazy.
Wrong. I was like typing it so fast and I just read it wrong.
It's okay.
Maybe you want to switch things up, Kayla.
And then I am listening to As Long as the Lemon Trees Grow by Zulfa Kato, I believe is how you say her name. And I've had this on Libby on hold for a while, but it finally came through. So I'm listening to that. And then I am reading physically The Prisoner's Throne by Holly Black, which is the sequel to The Stolen Heir, which is the spinoff of the Folk of the Air series. So very excited for that. I literally am only like 10 pages in, but Jude Cardin sightings, so I'm happy.
I am drinking a lemon sparkling water. It is Spindrift, not LaCroix this time.
I love Spindrift.
I like it too. I think LaCroix or lemon is the only LaCroix flavor I prefer over Spindrift. Like the grapefruit, the Spindrift is better and stuff.
Yeah.
It's yummy. I'm never going to say no to Spindrift, and my Whole Foods does not have LaCroix. That is what I'm drinking. And then I am currently listening to The Prisoner's Throne. Kayla, I didn't know you started.
Wow.
You're not listening to anything right now. Although I would say like I'm not loving the narrator. I'm going to keep listening to it because I paid for it. I used a credit. But
is it a different narrator from The Stolen Heir?
Yeah, because this is Oak's book.
Oh, right.
And the last one was Wren's. Yeah.
Right.
He's not bad. It's just like, you know how like it bugs me so bad when you know that like he obviously hasn't read the Folk of the Air series, which like we can't expect everyone to, but like the way he's narrating Cardin, I'm like, no.
Oh, okay.
That's not how he would say that at all, kind of thing, you know? So things like that. But it's fine. It's very like, oh, a fantasy book. Ah, you know what I mean? Like
loser.
Like,
yeah, I'll wait to read it physically. You got that.
Yeah,
one.
So it's not too bad, and I think I'll be like getting used to it. It's just like, you know, I know the narrators I like these days, so I so rarely just like dive headfirst into a narrator. I don't know. And I am physically still fucking reading A Shadow in the Reaping by Bryn Weaver, which it's not the book's fault. I'm having fun every time I get to read it. It's because I had some like other physical books that were like kind of time pressing, so I have been just like slow. This one's been on the back burner, but now it's on the front burner. So yeah, Okay, so how we're going to do this is that each of us, it's going to be like a little round table kind of situation where each of us is going to take our turn talking about which book we picked, why we picked it, who we'd cast, all that good stuff.
Do you guys have like a favorite adaptation? It doesn't have to be romance, just like one where you're like, that was really good.
I mean, I think the universal, at least amongst, especially our age group, The Hunger Games was a pretty good adaptation.
Yeah.
Especially Catching Fire. That movie is so good.
Yeah. I don't, this sounds so not like other girls of me, but I don't watch a lot of movies. So, I watch mostly movies. Like reality TV when I do watch TV. So I don't think I've seen a ton of stuff. Oh, I just watched Poor Things. I haven't read the book, but it was really good.
Kendra, do you have one?
Yeah. I think like To All the Boys I Loved Before was just like such a good
adaptation. That was a moment.
The other two, I think, were poorly adapted. And like when you realize that they were written, the first one was written by a woman, and like the last two were written by men and like directed by men.
Oh,
it was just
really?
Like, you guys missed. Yeah. Like the first one was like all by women. It was so great. And then the last two, you're just like, ill.
First one was so good.
That one was really good. Yeah. And then I haven't read this book, but I love the adaptation. It was the Looking for Alaska adaptation on Hulu. And John Green also really loves it. It got like barely any promotion, but it, guys, if you guys just want like a good miniseries, so fucking good. So good. It's done by the same people who did the original Gossip Girl, and they just fucking smashed it. Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it during COVID, and I just loved it.
Oh, speaking of, I really liked Normal People. I did.
Yeah, that's a good one. I haven't read the book, but.
Yeah, I have read the book, and I did enjoy it. I thought it was adapted quite well.
Did you guys read the newest one that everybody's crying over, One Day? Or see the other movie?
I saw the other movie. That was like my comfort movie in college.
Really?
I think I saw pieces of the movie, but I haven't seen the show because I don't have Netflix anymore.
I watched the series, the miniseries, last weekend. Didn't cry. But that's probably because I knew what happened. So, first, before we go into specifics, we want to each say which book that we picked.
Yeah. We maybe you can give a little synopsis of each book as well as we go around. Okay. I can go first. I chose Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman, which is one of my favorite audiobooks ever. I just loved how that audiobook was done for me personally. And it is about Gabe and Hani. Hani is a journalist and Gabe is like an up-and-coming star actor. Like he just got cast in the new Bond series and he is just like at the top of his game and she's sent to do a profile on him, but it turns into like a whole weekend of them just like hanging out because he's just like so nice and so gracious and like they're just having like the best weekend ever. But it's told in dual timeline and in present day, which is 10 years later. You can tell something bad happened at the end of that weekend and they're like reconnecting for a 10-year anniversary of the story because it went super viral because she was talking about how great of a weekend they were having. And so you're slowly piecing together what happened as well as like seeing where they're at now and like watching them kind of reconnect after all of this. So
love.
Yeah.
I chose Check and Mate. I was going in between two books. I'll explain that a little bit later, but I chose Check and Mate by Allie Hazelwood. I think a lot of people know this book already, but really quickly, I'll just say the synopsis. So it's about Mallory, who was a chess prodigy growing up. However, due to some things that kind of led to the destruction of her family, she's not playing chess anymore. Her focus is now like on her mom and her two little sisters. She's basically like helping financially provide for her family. Then she kind of begrudgingly agrees to play in this charity tournament. And to everybody's surprise, she beats the reigning champion and like the bad boy of chess, Nolan. Her win like shocks everybody, right? And so her victory kind of opens the door to other tournaments and things that she discovers give her some much needed money. And during all this, she also can't help but feel drawn to Nolan. And he keeps wanting to play her as well. He's like, I want you to keep playing and keep playing me. And so It's just kind of about that, her journey, like whether or not she really even wants to do this whole chess thing, because she again has some like history with it that didn't end so well, and her relationship with Nolan. And it's super fun, super cute YA book.
Love that book. Kendra, what about you?
I'm doing Ready or Not by Miss Cara Bastone.
People are going to be sick of that book.
Bro, I don't give a fuck. This book is great. Run it up again.
I know.
I listened to this book and immediately was like, this belongs on the screen. Mm-hmm. Like, this deserves it. Ready or Not follows a young woman named Eve who finds herself accidentally pregnant after a one-night stand with a random guy in the bar. So this book follows her pregnancy over the course of 9 months as she has to navigate all things in her life while also trying to figure out how to be a parent with the guy she had a one-night stand with. And she also finds herself falling for her best friend's brother. And it's just such a feel-good time. I love it so much. And a requirement that we had was like, it each had to be a book that we, at least two of us, have read, and all these books we've all read. It couldn't be a book that had been previously optioned. So like, we could have easily been like, oh, we're gonna do like an Emily Henry book, but like,
Beach Read,
everyone's already casting those, it's already in production, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not production, it's in it's been acquired, all that crap. So we wanted to make it fun. Like, these are books that we hope one day, but as of right now, us recording this episode, watch tomorrow, we're gonna wake up and there's gonna be all three of them.
Who wants to start?
I think you should start, Brandy.
Okay. Okay. So as mentioned, I am doing Funny You Should Ask. I am doing it as a movie. So like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we have the option to do movie, limited series, anything. I'm choosing a movie because I think the dual timelines would make for like a really engaging like 90 to 20 minutes. Or excuse me, 90 to 120 minutes with audiences like learning more and more and like piecing things together in the same way that we got to do as a book. And I think if this could split up into a series, people would like get bored, you know, if we tried to stretch that plot into like multiple episodes. And I don't like the idea of like doing some episodes in the past and some episodes in the present. So I think it could just like work really well as a movie.
Mm-hmm. Why did you pick this book initially?
Great question, Kayla. Thank you for asking. You're welcome. I picked this one because it's like, I think like all the ingredients for like a great rom-com to me. Like, it is funny. It has a lot of humor, but it's also touching on like really serious stuff, because this is like a slight spoiler. It's not a huge, massive spoiler for the book, but Gabe is like struggling with alcoholism and there's like broken relationships and, you know, like shitty partners and things like that. So like, it's not just like all shits and giggles and hijinks and all that stuff, but it's still like, I find parts of this book to be deeply romantic and also like very funny. So I thought that is like all the good balance for all of that stuff. So for casting, I challenged myself to, if you've read this book, you know that it's like the characters are loosely based on Jenny Slate and Chris Evans. And the whole book was inspired by an interview Chris Evans did a while ago. So I challenged myself to not use Jenny Slate and to not use Chris Evans, which Hani was really easy for me. Gabe, not so much. So I am casting Aya Cash as Hani. And I think, if you're not familiar with her, I discovered her in You're the Worst, which is an FX show that I watched on Hulu, and I thought it was so fucking funny in college. I haven't watched it since then. But she was also in The Boys and stuff like that. I picked her as Hani, and I picked her partially because, like, she's, like, really approachably stunning, which I think that, like, pretty well represents Hani in the book. Like, you could pass her on the street and, like, carry on with your day, but if you, like, get a good look at her face, you're like, whoa. You know, like, please marry me. So, and like I said, I was obsessed with her and You're the Worst. And by watching that show, I know she has the skills to be like really goofy and charismatic, but also like handle really serious topics and like be a really like emotionally developed actress. I think she's just very, very talented. So that one was easy for me. And like, Hani's kind of like this like goofy nerd in the book and like kind of like, you know, fangirls for a little bit when she first meets Gabe. I just think she could do that so well. I can see it so perfectly. Gabe was like much harder for me. because I was thinking like two different thought processes. I was like, are we shooting for the moon? Like, we can get anybody, like anybody's gonna say yes to this job, or is it like, who do I think could like realistically do a movie like this? So I do think like a Hemsworth brother would be great, because I need somebody who has like, who could be a James Bond, because Gabe was cast in the Bond series, but also with the acting chops to like play a person who's like deeply struggling with addiction and like how that's affecting his life and grief and everything like that. So I do think like one of the Hemsworth brothers could do that well, but like that scene, like I don't think that they would do a rom-com. I did think like obviously the king of rom-coms, Glenn Powell, potentially. I did throw around the idea of John Krasinski, since I've had a crush on him since I was in middle school, and he's like all beefy now. So I was like, maybe, but that didn't feel right. I don't know. So I did also like think about Henry Golding for a second, but now I'm just like listing people who I think are hot. So I'll stop. But
I mean,
yeah, yeah, you had to pick. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but like, I like Glenn Powell's just like top of mind because he was just in a rom-com. My favorite rom-com ever is Set It Up, which he's the star in. So like, he does just come to mind for me, but I do think he would be great in the role. Like, I think like he has the looks for what Gabe is, you know, like this A-list actor in Hollywood, and also like the chops to be able to play that role, and also like seems realistic to be in a semi-serious rom-com. So
yeah,
let's say Aya Cash and Glenn Powell. When I was casting them, I was also thinking about how I needed people who could look 30 and 40. Because this book takes place when they're 30 and then they reacquaint when they are 40. So I want, obviously, it's still to be told in those dual timelines, like jumping back and forth. One, when they're 30 and having their first weekend together where the story is written. And then the other one, obviously, when they're reconnecting. The only real side character that I thought was worthy of like us doing our casting here was Oliver Matthias, who's Gabe's best friend and like the most important side character in the book. He's British. He's hot. He was also potentially going to be Bond. So I thought Regé Jean Page, because he is in like Bridgerton, you know, like I think he would do like streaming stuff. And he's also like got the look for a Bond. He's hot and he's British. So yeah, I mean, obviously anybody can put on an accent, but I was like that. I honestly think like I read this book like close to when Bridgerton was blowing up. I feel like that's who I was picturing as Oliver anyways. So yeah, one of my favorite parts about this book, though, is that you get to read Hani's article. Like, you get to read it bit by bit throughout the book, but then you get to see what actually happened to inspire her to write that part of the article. So like, what she writes isn't necessarily exactly what happens. And I like, I don't know how I would get that into a movie. I would hire somebody who would be able to do that really well.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know.
They're chopping it.
Yeah. What? No, but I feel like that's one of the best parts about it is like seeing like what she put out into the world versus what actually happened. But you're right. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it could be like with the dual timelines, like when you're in the past, like they have like a short little snippet, like a couple sentences max where they read it out loud over like the voiceover or something. And then it goes to this. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a
yeah.
movie maker. I don't know.
Me either. And then I was thinking about like the potential of like, is it a voiceover? Are we seeing people on screen reading it and like talking to each other about it? I was like, those all seem a little cheesy to me. So I don't know. Yeah, I it would probably get chopped. Kendra, you're in.
I do have a degree in television. that I do not use. But I think what would happen is like, since I think you would tell this story linearly and not like do pass. Like, I think that's the easiest way to do it, since you're not going to do like alternating episodes. And then like they would just turn that article into like an ET online news story. So like it would be recapped, but like you wouldn't read it.
You wouldn't be reading it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're like talking about it somewhere, because it was went super viral and like it like quote unquote launched Hani's career, and she, like that's why she feels like obligated to like speak with him again 10 years later, even though she doesn't really want to. So yeah, I like that. So yeah, those are the people I would cast as like my main three people. The location for this one, I wouldn't change it at all. It takes place mostly in LA, the 100% of the time in LA, but I think there's like the way that it's written, it has such great potential to show like the parts of LA that aren't like, you know, what somebody thinks of when they think of LA. Like they go to his like favorite pub and like things like that. Like, so, and there is like a red carpet scene, which is like a great way to like get that flash in there. This is why I just think this would make such a good movie. But then also in present time, he's from Montana and he takes Hani back to Montana in the present timeline and like meets his family and stuff. So like I would leave that as small town man Montana as well. Mm-hmm. As for where I think this should go out, I like wanted to say Netflix because like I said, Set It Up is my favorite rom-com. And that was like a Netflix movie straight to streaming on Netflix kind of thing. But like I feel like Netflix doesn't give the attention to these kinds of like movies or TV shows anymore that they did in like 2017 when Set It Up came out. So I'm going to say Amazon Prime. I did love what they did with Daisy Jones and the Six. I didn't love the plot, but like the production and like the media for it and all of that stuff. So I'm going to say Amazon Prime, straight to streaming movie. And the last question that we all decided we want to do is like, who's going to be like a person who's going to do an original song for our movie or TV show? I want Suki Waterhouse because he is angsty and hot and romantic and catchy all at once, which is, I feel like, exactly what this book is. It's like a balance of angst and romance and like just like being hot. And so like I want Suki Waterhouse. I'm thinking about like To Love, that song from her. I'm like, oh, like if there was a Gabe and Hani song that sounded like that, I'd be happy, happy girl.
Love that. That's a good one. I haven't read that book in so long.
I reread it because I met her about a year ago at the LA Times Festival of Books and I re-listened to it. And it's just like, it's such a fun, like, it's solid. Even if you don't love it like I do, I feel like I haven't met many people who've read it and been like, ugh.
I liked her second book a lot too. I don't know. Did y'all end up reading that?
I haven't yet.
I read it on audio. It was good. I think Funny You Should Ask was a little bit better, but that one was still good.
This one was like, hotter.
It was still a fun listen.
Once More Feeling was hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it had a lot more like side characters and other people involved too. But it was a good one. I'd watch your movie, Brandy.
Thank you. I cannot get the image of like, since I decided to for like Aya Cash and Glenn Powell, like I can't get it out of my head. Like I just think they're both so beautiful.
Yeah, that'd be good. I was looking up what she looked like when you were talking because I didn't know who that was.
So can you show me a picture? Because I don't know what she looks like. Yeah. We'll put all this on our Instagram.
Yeah, let me find a picture that I was like, yeah, that's Hani.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
Oh, yeah.
That's like 40
Like literally to the T. Yep. Yeah, she could play someone who's 30, play someone who's 40.
Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go. Okay. So as you guys know, I did pick Check and Mate by Allie Hazelwood. I was going to pick The 7 Year Slip by Ashley Poston.
Yeah.
Because I just thought that would be such a cutie little like magical little rom-com. I thought it would be so sweet. But the reason that I didn't pick it was when I was searching for people to fan cast, I couldn't find a hot redhead to play Ewan. So I did it. Like, name one. Go.
I picture Miss Bruna.
You can just change
it. No, I won't.
It's not detrimental to the story.
No, but Ashley might think it is. So, and I don't want to upset the author.
Or you could just like dye whoever's hair.
Yeah, bro, KJ Apa.
I guess I could. KJ.
He played.
No.
He played Archie, bro. He looked.
I know he played Archie, but dyed.
He looked good with his little box dyed hair.
No, he's a little too young, and I mean he's not that young, I guess, but. Anyway, that's part of the reason, because I did want to make him a ginger, but there are no hot ginger men, so I was like, never mind.
Michael Fassbender, he's technically a ginger.
He is, like, but he's old.
Okay, age gap it. It's a movie. You're adapting it. You can make changes.
I know. Well, I know I can make changes, but anyway, that was the reason. But Check and Mate, I still think would make a really great movie. I did struggle a little bit with the cast, but we'll get to that. So why I picked this kind of falls into like the format that I want to do, which is a movie.
Okay.
And the reason like that I'm picking it is because I just think that even though, like you said, Brandy, sometimes Netflix doesn't give the same attention to like some rom-coms, I think that the attention that maybe not Netflix gives it, but the audiences do are YA based rom-coms, series, movies. Like, think To All the Boys I've Loved Before, that blew up. The Summer I Turned Pretty, which is Amazon Prime, but you know, still, like, I think that those audiences find those things and they
love them,
make them big. Yeah. And like Summer I Turned Pretty, we're all in our late 20s, but we still like watch it, enjoy it. To All the Boys I've Loved Before, I was, when did that come out? 2017, 2016?
2017.
So I was in my last year of college, but that was a great time. That was such a good movie. So when you mentioned that earlier, I was like, oh, that's part of the reason why I picked it. Cause I was just like, it could have a To All the Boys I've Loved Before moment. And so that's part of the reason why I picked it. I just thought it was so good. And also just the chess aspect of it. I loved The Queen's Gambit when it came out on Netflix a couple years ago. And it like made everybody love chess. Like chess sales blew up when The Queen's Gambit came out, and this would do the same. Get more young people into chess. So
your life's work.
Yeah. Those are the couple of reasons that why I chose it. And same story as like Brandy. I think that even though it is a cutesy little rom-com, there's still, you know, plenty of depth to it. And I just think that a lot of YA audiences would love it. And I think that adults our age would love it. I just think it would be such a good movie. So fan cast. I really struggled here specifically with Nolan. I struggled a lot. I literally have like 6 people listed. But I mean, I have like a main one, but I'll start with Mallory. My initial thought was Sabrina Carpenter. Because she's blonde and pretty, I guess. She is like, what's she like, 24, 25?
Something she's like that? 25. Oh, she'll she's be 25. 25.
She'll be 25. We're a year apart. I do think that you can, like, once you take away, like, you know, some of her hair extensions or whatever and her makeup, she will age down a little bit. She can look younger. Like, she can look younger. I think it could work. But also, Kendra gave me this option. Maddie Ziegler, I think, could also work really well. So I think of those two, I'd probably pick Maddie. So I think that's who my main one is going to be. And then Nolan, like I said, I really struggled here, but I had a bunch of options on here, like Jacob Tremblay, because I was like, who is a young, hot actor, like younger, like at least, I thought they have to be at least like 23 or younger.
Hot.
No, listen, he's not hot. I know that. He's not he's on my... Child. No. That's not what I meant. Oh, my God. Listen to me. Huh? I literally just Googled young actors. Like, I was like, I don't know. Like, popular young actors. Because I, like, didn't know... I don't know who's popular with the kids these days. Okay, guys? I'm old. So I was like, I don't know. Jacob Tremblay came up. And I was like, he could pass. Whatever. But he's not it. I was like... Joshua Bassett. I was like, I don't know, like the guy from Red Band Society. I don't know. I even put on here Lucky Blue Smith just for Kendra, but he's not hot. My main
smash.
Pick.
Smash, 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 smash.
With his fucking toothpick the whole time. G7. Yeah.
And I'd be rewatching. It'd be number one on Netflix because of me. You see that video where he slapped Nara's ass on camera and everyone's been stitching it like, bro, we know he tears her.
I mean, he's gotten her pregnant 3 times in like 3 years.
She's 22. God bless her soul. Anyway. But again, Kinder also gave... I even put down Timothée Chalamet, but he's too old. So Kinder also gave me this one because, again, like, I don't know. I've never heard of this man until Kinder told me about him. She's like, Kayla... use the guy from Henry Danger. And I was like, what is that? I said, what is that? I've never heard of that in my life. This guy's name is Jace Norman. I thought he's okay. But he's my best option. Going with Jace.
Kayla, he was a part of Dan Schneider's like final run on Disney Channel. And boo. Ew. Dan Schneider, like piece of shit. But he was a hit maker. Like, there's just no... Like, he was making hits.
Yeah.
Henry Danger, do you know... He was like... I think never at the time, like JoJo Siwa was like running laps around Nickelodeon. Henry Danger was like the number one show on Nickelodeon after like iCarly and Victoria. Like after those went off the air, it was all Henry Danger. This kid is so fucking loaded and rich.
Kinder goes, just use people who are on Disney Channel now. I'm like, I don't know who's on Disney Channel now. So I had to like go looking. But anyway, Jace Norman, congrats. You're my Nolan. We'll post a good
one. I didn't force you to do this. So, you didn't. I was just saying.
Can you think? Can you guys think of one? Like,
no, this is the photo I sent to Kayla because I was like, "What the? He can grow his hair back out and he'll look good now that he's a little older. He's hot.
Oh,
he's like dirty hot.
That's right? I mean, that's better. I initially thought of. Okay, did you guys watch Red Band Society?
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little older now, so he wouldn't really work. But I was like, he could work, but he's older now. So he's like 27 years old. But
let's age him up. Graduating college instead of high school.
Oh, I age Nolan up. Okay, yeah, I mean, okay, so Charlie Rowe and Jace Norman are my picks.
Yeah.
Those are the guys. All right. There are plenty of side characters in this story as well. So I tried to do, like, the main ones. I'm not doing her little sisters because I don't really know any child actors, but I'll start with her best friend, Easton Pena. And I picked Social Gomez. I thought that she would be really great.
Does she spell her name with an X?
Yes. Social.
That's how you pronounce it. I've never heard anyone say her name before. I've always just seen it like written.
Yeah.
Out.
I think it's Social. Social Gomez. So I picked her.
Wow.
It was between her and Jenna Ortega, who's like obviously really popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Oz, who is like one of Mallory's like older mentors at Zuzwick, however you say it. They're
the chess place.
Yeah. He's a white blonde guy. So I picked Will Poulter because he's kind of scary looking, but also
he would kill
really
that.
Hot.
That's,
I know.
That's a good pick. Yeah.
I was like patting myself on the back a little bit. that one's probably my favorite one of all of the fan casts. And then Daphne, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daphne. She is, I believe, a white woman with like pixie cut and tattoos. And I don't know anybody who has a pixie cut. So I just thought immediately of Florence Pugh when she had her short hair. So I was like, Florence, congrats. You win.
You could cut people's hair, Kayla.
I know, but I can't think of like... I don't
She's
know.
Like, no,
who...
we're sticking to the
No,
book.
We're sticking to the I can't even, like, think of anybody anyway. And we like Florence, so.
I don't like that haircut Florence. On her, but.
I don't either. But who do you like it on? Like, who would have
well, maybe
it?
It'll
who would
look
pull
better
it off well?
When it's not bleached
who would
the
pull
way
it off
it
well?
Is. Yeah. Maybe. If it's not bleached that way, then it'll look better.
Daphne also, like, wears, like, funky colors, right? And, like, different kinds of makeup. Like, she experiments a lot with her style. I remember right. So, all right. And then we have her two other chess friends that she makes along the way, Emile and Tenu. Okay. Emile, I used this kid named Skylin Brooks, who I'd never heard of before, but I thought that he looked the age really well. And he's really cute too. So I picked him. And then Tenu, I picked Avantika. From the newest Mean Girls.
She's
so
hot.
I thought that she would do. I thought that she would play a nerdy little chess girl really well. So those are my picks. It was hard. Can't even lie to you. Some were really easy, but some were very difficult. Location. I mean, I'm sticking to the book on this one too. As you guys know, stick to the book is what I do. But I mean, this one's not that hard to stick to anyway. She's from New Jersey, but they kind of go around a couple different places throughout the book for the different chess tournaments. So, you know, it switches location, which is nice. And then, okay, for the song, this one was also kind of easy for me. I thought, okay, who would be a really great pick? Again, who's, you know, popular with Gen Z. Olivia Rodrigo is super popular with Gen Z. So I was like, that's a no-brainer to me to pick Olivia Rodrigo. And if Sabrina did play Mallory, Sabrina could also make a song for the movie, but I picked Olivia Rodrigo.
And where is your movie going? Like, did you say that?
Yeah, I think it would go to Netflix. Again, I think that Netflix would hope that it would recreate the same magic that To All the Boys did. So I'm going with Netflix.
Yeah. Nice. They're going to like try to get like, because they lost Ginny Han to Amazon. So they're going to be like Allie Hazelwood.
They're
going to
get Allie.
Get to work.
Okay, Kendra, tell us about Ready or Not on the big screen.
I'm so happy to talk to you guys about Ready or Not. Guys, I would have to do this in college. Like, we would have to, like, pitch our original ideas. Oh, my God. I'm getting, like, war flashbacks. But I'm not going to do it in that same format. So, yeah, I'm doing Ready or Not, which I like you two, and making it into a movie.
Okay.
But I will say this, like, we're not doing streaming. No, 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 no. We're thinking big. We're going worldwide release. Because I'm sitting here.
In theaters only.
In theaters only. And then there will be a bidding war for who gets the streaming rights once the movie does like a fucking 12-week run. 12 weeks is crazy in the theaters. Because I'm like, I saw that. No offense, Brandy. I saw Glenn Powell's new movie with Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
The movie was ass. And everyone ate it up. And it made them so much money. It's like one of the highest grossing rom-coms now.
That's crazy. Okay,
so let's do it with a good story. Put the marketing budget behind it. And we're going to get to work. So, yeah, we're going theaters. It's going to be a summer hit. Think like, you know, everyone's like, oh, I want rom-coms to come back. Like 2000s and 2010s rom-coms. I'm going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I'm listening.
For Eve, I have three options. I have who I want. I have who I know will get an ass in a chair. And then I have like the backup no one else wants to do this movie, which I doubt it, but
yeah. That's if your two others, if your two others decide that they can't.
Yeah, like you don't and do like schedule, you know, scheduling conflicts.
Yeah. It happens, right.
I think Victoria Pedretti would make such a good Eve. She was in the TV show You. She played.
Oh my god. Yeah. She would be so good. Kendra. Oh my god. She's my new Eve. I'm going to reread that book with her in my head.
I think Eve is just so down to earth and approachable. And I think like that is like what I want. Like I want you to be able to watch it and be like, that's Eve instead of like, oh, that's so-and-so. But I'm going to say my next pick and you're going to be like, oh, that's like so-and-so, but it would work because it would sell.
Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence, still young enough. She's pushing it. That sounds bad, but like it's true.
Eve
she's like,
33. Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence?
She's 33. Yeah, she's 33, about to be 34. Yeah. But I think
she's been famous for so long.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. Like she's been famous for so long. So I don't think people like see her anymore as being like, but she just did a comedy last year. Eve is very funny.
I love that. It was funny.
It was really good. Yeah. We watched it together. Yeah.
We did.
And yes, Kayla, I was at your house.
Oh, you were at my house. That's right.
She's like, I blocked that out.
For some reason I was thinking, cause I was like, oh, I watched it with Jared. You watched it with both of you.
You really said, I don't give a fuck about you. That's crazy.
I will say I watched part of the Oscars last night and Jennifer Lawrence was there. I was like, she looks good. I was like,
well, she looks really good. I think like people would go to see a movie just to see Jennifer Lawrence. Yep. Like they don't even care what it's about. Mm-hmm. And she just became a mom, or like she's been like she had a kid like a few years ago. So I think she would really connect with Eve.
Yeah.
And bring a lot of life to that character. And then like my backup option, which like the more I look at it, I'm like, but again, backup Hailee Steinfeld, I think is young enough to play an Eve. And she has the range. So I'm like, if no one else wants to do this, she has the range. And then I can put Oscar-nominated Hailee Steinfeld in the trailer. And like,
yeah, but Jennifer Lawrence would give you Oscar winner.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. And then Victoria Pedretti, once she does this movie, it's going to be Oscar-nominated. Yeah. I'm thinking big. Think about Barbie. Barbie did numbers. I'm trying to do numbers.
Yeah.
Cara Bastone, I'm going to make you a fucking millionaire, girl. So that's Eve. Now for Shep, I was like, I'm not gonna make Shep. Shep does need to be a white man in this. It's just not. It's not detrimental to his character. And yeah. I want to see more men of color in rom coms. Okay, yes. So here are my options for Shep, and then we'll base Willa off of Shep, obviously, because they're a brother and sister. So Manny Jacinto from The Good Place.
Oh, I love him.
Uh huh.
He's
strongest jawline of anything ever.
See, I almost went with Charles Melton, but I was like, Charles Melton, I just don't know if he can do comedy. And like, he doesn't give puppy dog to me. Like, Manny Jacinto gives puppy dog, and he can grow his hair out. Because if there's one scene that
he looks so good in his beard.
A requirement for Shep is that they have to be able to have long hair and short hair. Because that's, if you've read the book, you know. So Manny Jacinto, I think, would be such a good option. He's just so fucking hot and lovable.
He's so hot.
And his character on The Good Place, which is so, like, people already have that associated with him being, like, aloof. Like, yeah, like,
Jason.
He's so cute.
He was my favorite character in that show.
And then next, I would do Shiraj Sharma, who I'd mentioned during our Build a Romance. He was on How I Met Your Father. So fucking hot. Oh, my God. And he's already done a rom-com for Netflix. So, like, I know he has the chops. And he was fucking hilarious in How I Met Your Father. And that show got canceled. And he deserves to be a leading man once again. Yeah. And then lastly, I did Danny Ramirez, who is going to be like the new, if Marvel gives him a chance, is going to be the new Falcon. Because like he was in the TV show Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and you know how
Oh, he's really cute.
He's Hispanic, and he's so cute. Oh, he's
beautiful. He's like long hair,
right? So it works. I want to
pinch his cheeks. Right? He's that kind of guy.
He's like because he's so cute. I just need a guy who can be lovable, but like still have like the seriousness too, like for the more emotional scenes. So for Willa, if we do Manny Jacinto, Kelly Marie Tran, I think, would be a really good, like, Willa. For Shiraj, I don't know how to pronounce this woman's last name, but her first name is Geraldine. And her last name is Viswanathan. I'm so sorry if I butchered that. But she was just in this movie called Driveway Dolls. Here, I'll look her up so you guys can see. I think she's so pretty. And she can act. And she was also in that movie. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was called Blockers. I think it was like John Cena and like these girls go out.
Oh yeah, she's pretty.
For prom.
She is very pretty.
Right? She's like gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous girl. And then if we do Danny Ramirez, I'm thinking Camila Mendez because like Riverdale, that show is on the air for 7 seasons. They have a loyal fan base. They're thinking, oh, Camila Mendez in a movie, I'm gonna go see it. That's at least guaranteed tickets right there. So yeah. Then we have Ethan, who is the baby daddy, Eve's baby daddy. And this one I struggle with a lot. Because Kayla, he's supposed to be redhead. I was like, fuck no, that's not, I don't care.
He is?
Yes, he's a redhead. I'm dropping the redhead thing. I'm more so going with like his personality. Like he's like, you want to see this guy in a bar, be a few drinks in and be like, I'd fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That's what Eve did. Right.
That is what Eve did.
So at first I'm thinking like Dylan O'Brien. People love him. I think he would make a good opposite person, but don't picture like Teen Wolf Dylan O'Brien, and don't picture like the one where he has like the buzz cut and the tattoos like for whatever movie. Picture like Dylan O'Brien when he's just like on Instagram kicking it, hanging out with Logan Learman. That type of Dylan O'Brien. If not him, Jeremy Allen White. I think he would make a good Ethan.
Unpopular opinion, I do not think that he is good looking.
But I don't think you like white men.
That's me. That's not true.
Have you seen that Calvin and Klein ad?
Yes, I've seen it. He has a nice body.
He's not in that?
His face is not my fave.
Whoa. Well, this is why I don't need Ethan to be like the hottest person, right? Like I still want Shep to be like the hot one, but I still want Ethan to have like persona.
But even but still, like I'd have to be like 10 shots deep.
Which Eve personally, was, to be fair.
Yeah.
I guess.
And then my last 10? Pick for Ethan. That's crazy. Kayla, you're on the floor if you're 10 shots deep.
You're crying. You're not fucking crying.
Yeah, anybody. I'm crying. I'm definitely crying.
My last pick at that point for Ethan would be Brett Dyer, who was in Jane the Virgin. He played Michael. Oh. Clean him up. Clean him up. Because sometimes he looks a little ugly. Not going to lie if he grows his facial hair out. But when he was in hair and makeup, Brandy's like, fuck no. Ew. I like him.
Okay.
And he's fucking funny. And I think he would punch up the script really well.
I'll give you that.
There's this video of him and like the guy from Pretty Little Liars are like best friends in real life. I need to find it and send it to y'all. I think it's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Which guy from Pretty Little Liars?
I think the guy played Toby. I never watched the show.
Oh, okay.
I forget his name. And also like Brett Dyer, he deserves a long career. This movie's going big again. So he's going to do this movie and then his agent is going to not be able to put down the phone. Like everyone's going to want him. If we can turn Pete Davidson into a fucking sex symbol, we have the ability to turn anyone into a sex symbol. So don't rule out the uglies just yet. That's all I'm trying to say. And then I have like two other things that I fan casted. So the next would be Nurse Louise. I feel like, let's say like we didn't get Jennifer Lawrence, right? Like, so we need like, I feel like the side characters would be like the big names, right? So like, that's who like I want. Like their name's gonna be on the poster, everything.
Meryl Streep. Yeah.
Okay, so I thought that. I was I was like, I think she's like a little too old for Nurse Louise. She's too old, more so giving grandma instead of like mentor.
Right.
So I thought, well, this person isn't as big, but like I think she's like very recognizable. It's Lisa Ann Walter. She plays Melissa on Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
Jessie and the Parent Trap. So, great. Like, people have like such a familiar like thing with her. Mm-hmm. I said either her or Laura Dern. I like Lisa Ann better because like just the way her voice sounds and like the
nurse
very is mothering.
Like, yeah, very mother. So let's just stick with her. And then I think her brothers would also be like really big names. So I was thinking like Jake Johnson, but like full beard looks disgusting. So he looks old. Not disgusting. Looks so that way he looks older because like I want to keep that of like the age gap between them.
Yeah.
And then also because we're going for comedy. I think Seth Rogen, seeing Seth Rogen be anyone's brother in a movie, you're going to be fucking dying. And Eve's brothers were fucking hilarious. The rest of her brothers, because I forget how many she has, they can just be whoever. So she has three. Okay, cool. Because, bro, I also put John Krasinski, but I think he's too hot.
That, yeah,
she can have a hot brother. Like, maybe she can
have
a hot brother.
Yeah, the one that's the carpenter. That could be a hot brother. Yeah.
Just because then you're like, oh, that's Seth Rogen, like, playing your brother. Or the decorator. And they're not main characters. So, like, again, like, it doesn't take away from the story. You know when you watch a movie with Will Smith and you're like, oh, that's just Will Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for you to look at them as other characters.
Yeah.
Okay. Location, New York, easy. We're going to film. We're going to try to film as on location as possible. Like, Brooklyn, you're going to be sick of us. You're going to see our trailers out on the street every single day.
We're closing down roads.
Yeah. But I'm going to pull a page from the Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney movie. I'm calling the paparazzi every single day. Victoria Peretti, if you have a significant other, give them a warning in advance. Because you and whoever we cast as Shep, oh my God, affair rumors, everything. Like, people are going to be itching to see you guys on screen together. Like, it's going to be so good. And then for the soundtrack, because we have money for the soundtrack.
Yeah, you're going to get your
It's going to be, oh yeah, it's going to be... Mm-hmm. It's going to be a compilation soundtrack, or I don't know if that's the right word, but every artist is going to be, it's going to, like, think 50 Shades of Grey, okay? Like, how they had every fucking artist in the world, right? They got Beyonce. If Beyonce wants to do that, that's great. I think she qualifies for what I'm about to say. They have to be a mother, okay, to be on the soundtrack. And they all are going to be. Florence.
Wait, you mean like a literal mother or like figurative mother?
I mean, like, now that you put it that way, I'm like, mother.
Yeah.
No, but they have to be.
That's what I thought you meant. You were like,
Okay. That's what like, I thought. Like, a literal, like, has a child.
Yeah.
Like, has a child.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Following.
Rihanna. Rihanna's going to do the soundtrack. And we're going to make a deal with her. Rihanna, Fenty Beauty. Product placement, everything. Like, we got you, girl. They're only going to be wearing Fenty Beauty. So, boom, she wants to do the movie. She wants to do the movie.
Eve, in the middle of the scene, is like, actually, hold on. Let me put on my Fenty lip gloss real quick.
Yeah. And then Rihanna's going to do a cameo. And I have it in my mind, right? So, like, there's a scene where Eve is getting, like, lunch or whatever with Nurse Louise. And they're, like, having this great chat. And I feel like Rihanna can come into the diner. And then she's going to be like, oh, nurse, like, we'll, like, lie. Rihanna will play Rihanna, but she'll be like, oh, nurse, like, how are you doing? Like, and she'll sit to Eve, she'll be like, listen to anything this woman says. She delivered both my babies, blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, we can put Rihanna in the trailer, okay? We're going to do what they did to Zendaya in Dune 1. Because you know how they say she's not in that movie. Like, she's in there for, like, a scene and a half. We're going to do that for Rihanna. Every marketing push we have, she's going to be in it till people go see this fucking movie.
What if Rihanna's like, I'm only going to do this if you let me do it with ASAP. You going to let her do it?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I think he's out.
Okay.
ASAP can be in it now. ASAP can be in it.
Okay. All right. Because I know how much you love that man. And
when I mean in it, he can have a producer credit on a song. And then... Also, if let's say like we can't get Rihanna, she's busy. No, we're gonna get her though. We're gonna get her because she's gonna read this story and she's gonna be like, bro, like pregnancy changed my life.
Wait a second.
Then we're also gonna get Kelly Clarkson. Now hear me out. We're gonna get Kelly Clarkson. She's a mom. She loves her kids, and she just moved her show to New York. So like she's ingrained. She's becoming ingrained in New York. Kelly, we're gonna have her cover a song for the movie. Like she's gonna do some. Think of whatever.
She's great at covers.
Great song.
Yeah.
Boom. When the week the movie comes out, she's performing that song number on karaoke. Goes viral. Yeah, we're selling like 100,000 units on iTunes. Like number one, crazy, like chart topper. And then she's gonna do an original song, and then we're gonna have the whole cast go on the Kelly Clarkson show and like promote the fuck out of this movie. Like, you guys think I'm playing? Every time you open up TikTok, you're gonna see a trailer. Watch my trailer for Ready or Not. We're gonna be so annoying, but then it's also gonna be good. That is the difference. Yeah, we're gonna have Ready or Not ice cream. Right? Like I'm thinking big Barbie. Like. I'm taking this to the biggest studio. They're like, yes, we need rom-coms. We need them back. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, no. I
any
think
other
that's it.
People? Just, okay.
Just keep in mind that when you do a movie, usually like this might have changed. Usually like 30% of your budget goes to marketing. So this mm-hmm. is going to be a big, you're going to see like, damn, why are they spending like $200 million on this random ass rom-com? And then when you see us on every TV show, on everything, you'll know why. And the marketing's going to pay off and we're going to make $400 million.
I walked to the president of Disney Channel and I said, I want to make history.
I want to make history. And then afterwards for streaming, I'm going to give it to Peacock because Peacock, all y'all bitches I watch Real mm-hmm. Housewives, when all y'all finish the season, boom, that ad's going to pop up.
Me.
And you're going to say, oh, I've been hearing about this movie nonstop and it has Rihanna?
They're going to give it the Oppenheimer treatment where it's like banner, banner, banner. You have to scroll like 10 times down to get away from Ready or Not.
And then like on The Voice, they're going to have like they're going to have a week where they like cover the songs that, like on the movie or they're working with the artists who are also like on the movie soundtrack. Like it's going to be big. Victoria. Like these people's careers are about to change. It's going to be directed by a woman. It's going to be written by a woman. Cara Bastón, we're going to make her a little cameo in it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cara should play the girlfriend that you never meet.
Oh, yeah. And then for marketing also, we're going to do a doggy bar pop-up in New York City, Brooklyn. 1 weekend only. The cast is going to be there. Bring your dogs.
Or just go posters. To a... Just set up at a current dog
no,
bar.
No, it's
going to
be the place. What's the place called? What's the bar called?
I forget what it's called.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to take Ethan's dog bar and we're going to like take over another dog bar. We're going to completely rebrand it, make it look like that. Like we're just going to rebuild the set. And then people, you're going to go to New York 10 years after this movie comes out and people are going to be fucking begging like, oh my God, where did they shoot this bar scene? Like, where did they shoot it? Where did they shoot it? And then it's going to become a New York fucking staple. Like the mm-hmm. Gossip Girl tours and like the Law & Order SVU tours. Mm. So Ready or Not, you have legs. Because that movie, I think it's so good. It's just such a good book and it would make such a good movie. Yeah. Let's say rom-com, guys. Yeah.
I love how we just like, I was like, I don't know if this person would be willing to do this type of movie. And then Kayla was like, I'm going to go with the big names. And Kendra said, I'm making history.
It just got progressively like.
I like it. I like it.
Our presentations got progressively more.
Shoot for the moon.
Shoot for the stars. Yeah. Type beat. Mm-hmm.
How fun.
I like, personally, of your fan casts, I like J-Law and Manny, only because I'm obsessed with Manny. I love him so much. Those would be my two
picks. And everyone on Twitter is like, put him in a rom-com. Mm-hmm.
Victoria and who?
Put him in a rom-com.
I want Victoria and Manny.
Yeah, fierce. I think mm-hmm. Victoria, like, she just, like, has the range. Like, she's so
like
good.
Deep.
Yeah. And, like, I can just picture her. God. I'm going to dye her hair. I'm going to put that pregnant little aesthetic, prosthetic belly on her. I'm going to put the overalls on and she's going to look fucking adorable.
Oh my God.
Movie opens up, close up on her face in the doctor's office. Yeah. And then from there, you're locked in. You don't want to move. Bathroom breaks, not a thing. Oh my God. And then AMC, we're going to sell, you know how they make like impractical
popcorn,
things into movie buckets? Yeah. It's a popcorn buckets. We're going to do
gonna
like.
It's going to be a belly. It's going to be a belly.
No, the belly, we're going to get flat. We don't want any controversy because then people are going to be like, well, da, da, da. We're going to turn Shep's bike into a popcorn bucket. If they turn the fucking burn book into a popcorn bucket, yeah, we can do anything.
Okay, but that's a book. That's like, you could open that up. You can't open a bike.
Did you see what they did for Dune? That little like, we can make it work. The bike, look, it's going to be a bucket. the seat, okay. Don't underestimate my team and what we can do.
Your team? Or are you directing and producing and running the whole thing?
Bro, I'm executive producing. Hell yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And I'm but they're mainly, I'm going to be on both sides. I'm mainly going to work with marketing though, but both sides.
Right. Okay. Both sides. My bad. Mm-hmm. All right.
What would the rating be on y'all's?
PG-13.
PG-13 because mine is YA, so I have to be PG-13.
Yeah, I think mine would be PG-13. I want to see as many people. But then I'm like, oh, they're sex scene. But then we're just going to drive up book sales.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone on TikTok is going to be like, guys, oh, I wish they would have included the sex scene. And then all the bitches are going to go buy the book. And Cara Bastón, girl, you made another check. Congratulations. Alex Fink.
Yeah, where are you putting her?
You're golden. Bro, she should.
Make a cameo?
Low key.
She could be Eve.
She looks good. Like, she, like, yeah, she could be Eve. She, in yeah, a perfect world, Eve and Shep would be complete unknowns, but, like, that's not fun for doing this exercise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think she would do good.
Wow. That was, I mean, that was great. No. I really feel like I was listening to a college presentation, like, sitting down, like, fully engrossed in your presentation.
In college, it was, like, 10 times worse. Like, you would have to, like, because, like, when you, when screenwriters go to pitch movies or whoever, producers, you have mm-hmm. to literally tell the entire movie. Like, like every beat, every plot point. But, like, obviously you have to do it in a way that's, like, concise. So, like, my senior year, we would have to, like, watch movies and then come into class, like,
and pitch
the next
them,
day or the next week and pitch it. So it would be movies that, like, people had already seen. So, like, they know what to expect. And so, like, they're looking to see, like, well, I think you should have highlighted this or you should have done that, whatever, whatever. And it was fucking nerve-wracking every single time. It was always better when you could do an original idea because then you can just bullshit your way through it and make it up. But doing the shit that already existed, hard. But, I mean, it works because, like, then you know, like,
exactly you're really what good to at say. It.
Bro, yeah. Thank you, Columbia College Chicago.
Sponsor us. That's hilarious. Yeah. Well,
good job, everybody.
So fun.
It was. We'll have to do this again. I like this.
If you enjoyed listening to us talk about movies or books that we'd like to see adapted into movies, please rate and review this podcast. It would mean a lot to us. Also, head over to our Instagram at Bring Your Own Pod to see pictures of our fan cast, all that good stuff. So, and then tell us in the comments, what book do you want to see turned into a movie?
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.